so grateful. Thank you for your faithfulness to us throughout this year, bringing us to this last day and Sunday and service of this year. We're truly grateful for all the mercy that you showed us, that has preserved us from destruction, caused us to be faithful, and indeed caused us to triumph. We return to you all of the glory. As we enter your word now, we come to pray for fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips, that indeed I would speak as I should, as an oracle of God. I pray you put the same unction upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me, those who are here physically, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that this word will flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Further pray that as we speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great measure to follow these words and back them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yes, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men, so that indeed they will become doers of what they hear and are hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful, so that I will deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving every blessing, agreed and said, I have a very important prophetic message I want to share with us and close the ear with. And I have entitled it Fire, Transformation and Glory. I'd like you to turn with me in your Bible to the third chapter of the book of Malachi. Malachi is the last of what we call the Old Testament minor prophets. They're not minor, it's just that their books are smaller in volume. The prophetic word that they gave or were permitted to write down was smaller in volume than what we call the major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. All the other prophets from Daniel through Malachi are small volume books, so they're called by theologians the minor prophets, and this is the last of them in the old, what we call the Old Testament. I want to reiterate what I have said many times in the past: all scripture is important. Don't let anybody ever tell you that the Old Testament is not important. It is very important. In fact, the details of the principles in the Old Testament are found inside the New Testament are found inside the shadows of the Old Testament narratives. That's why it's very important to be spiritually knowledgeable about the Old Testament. And like Paul said, it's all scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable. Everybody say it's profitable. Say the Old Testament scriptures will profit you and will be good for your correction. And it will make you perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So it's very, very important we realize that. And so, Malachi chapter 3, and I'm going to read initially from the first three verses. I'd like you to read along with me. Say, behold my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek. How many people are seeking the Lord here? I trust you are. Shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Verse 3. And he shall sit. Everybody say, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them or clean them out as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. This is a prophetic word about the end time church, talking about the coming of the Lord back to his temple. He's not here talking about the rapture, which is what most people understand in eschatology as the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord is actually in three phases, is in three sections. There's going to be a coming in us, in the perfection and the fullness of Christ, where, like mommy was sharing earlier on, like I was saying yesterday night, you know, we are going to do the works Jesus did and greater. That has not happened yet. We're expecting it any day now. Hence this prophetic message that I am bringing to you. Then there is the coming for us, which is what we call the rapture, the catching away. And even that catching away is selective. It's not going to be everybody all at the same time. There's going to be a catching away of the man child, which represents the church that has grown into and is manifesting the perfection of fullness of Christ, both at the adult level and at the junior level, where Jesus says, "Behold, I and the children God has given me." And that's why we call it man child, even though that ordinarily means male child. But man child there stands for spiritually mature men and their children who are following them, operating a borrowed anointing. It is this church that carries the glory of God, that is manifesting the glory of God, that is going to be raptured, that's going to be caught up. Sadly and regrettably, the remaining part of the church is not caught up. The woman that gives birth to the child is not caught up. The remnant of her seed is not caught up. And that is a reality that I pray to God that many Christians will begin to understand. The Bible says, no wonder the scripture says, he that had this hope purified himself. When you realize that these things aren't just, you know, we've been told, oh, you know, it's not true. It is not true. I'm not saying that to justify a position. It's the truth. It's in the scriptures. You know, it is the people. He says, you know, watch and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape these things and to stand. Who shall stand when he appears? To stand before the Son of Man. It's the people who prepare themselves. That is why you need to purify yourself. Use the blood, the word, and the spirit to purify yourself so that when the time comes for him to come for us, you are qualified. You have to be in the man child. You have to be, you don't have to be perfect. No, you know, I mean, that would be unreal and it's not even practical. But what it does mean is that they're watching and praying, they're cleaning themselves constantly with the blood, the word, and the spirit, you know, and they're carrying the glory of God. Even children, and I'm going to get to that in a minute, and possibly later on tonight during the watch night service, even children, little children, will carry the glory. Hallelujah. Little children. I'm talking about 6 years old, 7 years old, 10 years old, 12 years old children. The anointing will be upon them. They will cast out the devil. They will raise the dead. They will heal the sick. Miracles will be happening. Hallelujah. Because of the borrowed anointing that's going to come upon them as a consequence of being inside the church, of this man-child church. And then the third part of the coming of the Lord is when he comes with us to destroy the armies of the Antichrist and set up the millennial kingdom. So that is the three phases. And they follow the principles of scripture. Everything God does is in threes. "I have written unto you excellent things," in threes. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. It's a general principle in the Word of God, particularly concerning this particular aspect. So we are expecting that. And he says he will come suddenly, the messenger of the covenant. Now he's saying here, who will abide? In other words, not everybody will. Now that's not the will of God. Just like it's not the will of God for anybody to go to hell. The same principle goes down the line. He's not willing that any should perish. Sadly, many are perishing, not because it's the will of God, but because of man's stubbornness and misuse of his free will. In the same way, it's God's will for everybody to abide the day of his coming, but not everybody will. Hence, prophetic message like this. Because prophetic messages are warning messages, whom we teach and warning every man. It's a warning is not negative. A warning is an act of love. The reason why I warn you is so that what I'm warning you about will not befall you. It's not your portion in Jesus' name. It will not befall you. You will abide the day of his coming by the mercy and the grace of God. But for you to do that, you have to know what Israel ought to do and then do it. It's not automatic. That's why mommy said what she said earlier. That's why prophets are not popular. True prophets, developing prophets, like us, because we won't just tell you part of the truth, we'll tell you the whole truth. And when we tell you the whole truth, everybody gets excited. When you not tell them the condition, and they go, wishing that there was no condition. There is no such thing in God as no condition. Everything in God is conditional. I don't want to get off into that, but even the love of God, you hear is unconditional love. I know what they're trying to say, but really that is an inaccurate statement. It is undeserved. God's love is undeserved. It's not unconditional in the sense like this. He says, if a man keep my commandments, he says, my Father and I will love him and we'll come and make our abode with him. There are levels of fellowship with God. So the more you walk with God, the greater the amount of love and care you're going to get. If you have stuff in the house, maybe you got jewelry, you got things that are precious. The way you keep some things is different from the way you keep other things, because it's precious. So it is with God. That's why when you walk with God, it says if in Psalm 91, it says because it's conditional. He has set his love upon, therefore will I deliver him. It's not conditional. Everything in God, let nobody ever deceive you, is conditional. However, there is the general love of God that is undeserved. That's why God loves the sinner. That's why God loves the unlovely. And he will draw them by his spirit. He will have mercy, get them to heaven. So it's undeserved. In other words, you can do something wrong, but God will not stop loving you because you did something wrong. It's an undeserved love. However, when you begin to do what is right, then the love of God for you, the care and all of that increases. It's just natural. People always used to think, why would God deal with David the way he dealt with him? And deal with Saul the way he dealt with him? Why? It's condition. David too did some really terrible things. In fact, probably things that are even worse than what Saul did, if you look at it in the natural. But David, the Bible says, he man after God's own heart. He loved God. He kept God's word. He kept God's commandments and all of that. So when God was going to deal with him, God did chasten him when he did something wrong. He said, yet nevertheless, my mercy will not depart from thee. He said, I will not take my mercy from you as I took it from him. It's conditional. So we need to understand that, but undeserved. The correct expression is undeserved. And so you will abide the day of his coming by his mercy and grace. And you will stand when he appears. Now, for he, why did he say these things? For means because he is like a refiner's fire. In other words, this is a great truth you have to understand. The coming of the Lord in us, in the church, is going to be like a fire. A refining fire. God's been dealing with me on this in recent times. He says he is like a refiner. There's a fire. Now, what does fire do? Keep it in this prophetic context. He says, a refiner of purifier and of gold. Gold and silver are metals, as we all know. And the way you refine them is fire. Fire, even pure gold, what we call pure gold. If you go to the shop and you want to buy a ring, the different kinds of gold. There's 9 carat, there's 18 carat, there's 24 carat gold. Why? Because 9 carat gold has more impurities than, more impurities, than 18 carat. 18 carat is purer, 24 carat, so it becomes more expensive. Now, what they do, I'm just going to hit this running, is that they put the gold inside a fire. When you put it inside the fire, you heat it to a very high temperature, the impurities rise to the surface. And then you skim it off. So that what is left is pure, is a purer, let's use the word purer because it's relative, purer version of gold than what originally was. Even though it is gold, practically all of us, well, don't let me make a sweeping statement, but I dare say that all of us are aspiring to be gold Christians. In a great house, there are vessels of gold. Yes, you are gold, but you still have to be purified. Can you believe that? Even though you're gold, and that's the crux of this message, even though you're gold or silver, silver too has to be purified. I was reading somebody's commentary, you know, by some theological, I liked it, it was good, and I'm going to share with you, you know, about silver. When they want to purify silver, they heat it. They heat it to a very high temperature, like I said, so that the dross and the impurities can come off. But they have to be very careful. If you overheat it, you will destroy the silver. If you underheat it, you will not get the impurities out. So there is a delicate balance. You apply sufficient heat, and I was told this, I've not done it before, you know, but I believe it's correct, you know, that the way they know the silver is ready is when you can see yourself inside it. Until God can begin to see himself inside you, your purification has not yet reached the level. Isn't that amazing? They used to, you know how silver is. Silver is, when it's very pure, it becomes like a mirror. You just look into it and you see yourself. So when the guys are purifying the silver, they be watching. Watch this. They are increasing the temperature and looking at the silver very carefully. Once they can see themselves in the silver, they turn the heat off. Because you don't want it to be too hot as to destroy the silver. You know, God is an expert at that thing. The Holy Spirit, he will put the fire on in your life. But he's watching carefully. He's not careless that will look somewhere while the thing gets burnt. He keeps his eye on the ball, so to speak. I watch over my word to perform it. So he's watching, and then he heats. He knows what will destroy you. So he will not allow the heat to get so much that he will destroy you, but he will allow it to get the point where the impurities come up, so he can remove them, and then he brings forth a vessel of gold and a vessel of silver that can carry his glory. So we all need the fire. Bottom line, glory be to God. And what the Lord was showing me, I have been preaching these things for years, but I saw a deeper aspect of this. He's coming. You see, as he comes with the fire. You know, we've been praying for the coming of the Lord. The coming brings fire with it, and I'm going to explain the reason why in a few minutes. I want us to look at a few other scriptures. Look at Malachi chapter 4. Say Malachi. Now move to chapter 4 and look at the first two or three verses. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. What burns things? Fire. It's fire. Hello? And all the proud... I didn't hear you. Yea, all that do wickedly. Wickedly here isn't just talking about armed robbers and wicked politicians. Anybody who doesn't do instruction is wicked. Psalm 50 said, what do you have to do? The wicked have to do. You hate instruction and cast it behind me. You know, that's so common in the church. No wonder why 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. So God's people have wicked ways. And that's something you have to exercise yourself in. Exercise yourself in obeying instruction. Exercise yourself in practicing instruction. Many times we don't like instruction. We cast it behind us. And that is an act of wickedness because of the consequence of not obeying instruction. A pilot is driving a 747, you know, I've given this illustration before, and he gets an instruction from the control tower. And those things move terribly fast, you know, 600, 700 miles per hour. And he says, bank 2 degrees left and dip, you know, 100 or 200 feet. There is turbulence approaching. And the guy says, who's this guy? Come on, I've flown this route 1,000 times. I'm not going to listen to him. He runs into turbulence and gets the plane in trouble. And then people die. simply because he didn't obey instruction. Spiritually, it's the same thing. That's why you never know the ripple effect and consequence of disobedience. Hence, scripture says, hold fast to instruction, for she is thy life. And so, the wickedly shall be stubble, for and the day cometh.
I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you.
That shall burn them, or on the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall neither leave them, he's talking about the wicked now and the proud, neither root nor branch. How many people know God is coming for a perfect church? Without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. That's why some stuff's got to get burnt out. So that fire, that same fire that's refining some people, is going to burn up some people. And it's very interesting when you look at materials. You understand? Fire will burn wood. It will burn hay. It will burn stubble. But the same fire will refine gold. It won't burn them. So depending on the quality, the fire is not partial. It just does its work. If it's gold and silver, it refines it. If it's wood and earth, it burns it out. And that's why we need to get our act together. Next verse, verse 2. And a but, I like this but. The same fire that's destroying the proud and wicked say, but unto you that fear my name. See, fearing his name is part of becoming gold and silver. And interestingly enough, what is the fear of the Lord? The instruction of wisdom. Look at how it all ties together. See, the person who fears God obeys instruction because he has a reverence for God and God's servants that bring the instruction, and he doesn't want to do anything that would displease God. So he begins to practice instruction. He doesn't cast instruction behind him. But unto you that fear my name, shall the Son, that's not S-O-N, it's S-U-N, and there's a reason I'm going to explain in a minute, of righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And you shall, you who are refined by that fire, who fear his name, shall go forth and grow up. Everyone say grow up. 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 Shall grow up as cows of stall. Now give this to me in, first of all, the New International Version. If I'm happy with it, we'll stop there. And if I'm not, I'll move to the Amplified. But unto you who revere my name, I didn't hear you. The Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. Remember the butterfly. It stays inside the pupa stage until the internal work is done. I'm getting ahead of myself. Then the thing breaks and then the butterfly flies out with its colors. Hallelujah. So we are not released from the stall until the Son of Righteousness arises inside you with healing in his wings. Give it to me in the Amplified. There's one of the translations that says, you know, yes, I like this. But unto you who revere and worshiply fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings and in his beams. I like that word beam. Those of you who know a little bit of, you know, anybody, you know, little physics and all that. See, when light is coming from a source, it's sending out a beam. Hallelujah. So the fire, koshele mengaras, that's going to come from the inside. As the Lord comes inside us, he's going to release an internal fire. And that fire will burn up the impurities inside you. But it won't stop there. It will now come out as beams that will now bring healing and deliverance to the people around you. Unto you that fear. That's why he calls his son. You know, the sun is a star. It's a planet. This is our sun here in our solar system. You know, we have about, you know, 10 planets or so that are circulating the sun. You know, that's scientists tell us we have never gone there to measure it. But, you know, we estimate from the physics and all of that, that it is, the temperature of the surface of the sun is about 93 million degrees Celsius. 93 million. Can you imagine how hot that is? Hallelujah. But you know, it's that same sun that gives life to the planet. Amen. And you know, earth was really created by God. You know where we are placed? We are placed in the best part. We are not too far away from the sun, or everything on earth will freeze. And we are not too near the sun, and everything will burn. God has placed, you know, we're in a place where, you know, astronomers, you know, say, you know, we're strategically placed in a particular location in the where we're close enough to the sun to get light and life from it that gives life to the earth, and far enough away so that the sun doesn't burn us up. If you move the earth, and you can't, thank God, God's in control. You know, just, you know, a little bit, maybe 2% of the distance between here and the sun, and you moved us, say 2, 3, 4, 5%, we won't be here. It will be too hot. You know what it's like during the summer? You go to Dubai or go to the desert, you know, and it goes to 40 degrees Celsius, 45 degrees Celsius. You know how uncomfortable you are. You how the sun is shining. That's only 40. Now imagine the entire surface of the planet was 120 degrees Celsius. You won't be able to hear. There'll be no oceans. All the oceans will evaporate. That is what some planets like Venus, those ones that are closer, Mars, you know, Mercury, that's how their surface. That's why you can't live there. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. God is wonderful. That's why so in talking about his coming in us, he uses that expression, the Son, not Son of God, you know, the Son of righteousness, because his coming in you will be like a sun. It will be like a star. Hallelujah. The morning star arising inside your heart. It will be like a star arising on the inside of you, and it has a work to do. The heat, the power of that sun is going to burn out your impurities. Amen. Now, follow me to Isaiah chapter 4. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Isaiah chapter 4, and just look, I think, verse 5, 4 and 5. Isaiah chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Very good. Just keep it in verse 4. Or move to verse 3, just to get the prophetic context. And it shall come to pass, I didn't hear you, that he that is left in Zion, I remember like in Zion here. Zion is symbolic of the perfect church. You know, perfect leadership, fully submitted followership that's following after the leadership. And he that remaineth in Jerusalem, these are not just the physical locations of Jerusalem, Zion, even though there's an application there, but spiritually, he's talking about the church. The church that is going on to perfection and is baptized in the Holy Spirit, moving in revelation knowledge, you know, shall be called holy. And everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem. I don't want to get off into this, but you need to understand that it means something is going to happen. There's going to be a cutting off. That's why it says that he that is left. It means there were some people there before. Then some of them were removed. So the one that are left behind. Hello, somebody. Remember Zechariah chapter 13? It says 2/3 shall be cut off, you know, and die. You know, and the remaining 1/3 that is left, he says, I will purify them. You know, I will purge them like gold and silver. We're going somewhere. So this, I am bringing a prophetic word. You see, the prophet prophesies. I prophesy, but not too much. You know, most of my prophetic ministry comes through teaching, which is really, you know, that's how Jesus did it. You hardly do you find yourself saying, thus saith the Lord. He just preaches the word, and what he says is prophetic. That, you know, you grow in these things. Okay, so I'm bringing you a prophetic word through this prophetic teaching. So he prophesies, he preaches, and teaches about the purpose of God that is immediately in front of the church, so that the church can know what to do. That's why prophetic teaching is very important. Because if I don't teach, you won't know what to do. And you will not know how to do it. And then you will not prosper in the purpose. So the prophetic preaching and teaching is of extreme importance, and that's what I'm doing now, because this fire is the next thing in front of us. And these things actually happen almost simultaneously. The fire, the transformation, and the glory. It all happens in one sequence. I have just distinguished them so that you will have understanding of what is happening and you'll be able to flow with it. So he says, he that is left in Zion and everyone that is remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, and everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem. That's after the fire comes in. Verse 4, when, he's giving you the prophetic timing, when the Lord shall have washed away, everybody say washed away, the filth. There's a lot of filth right now. How many people know that? We were talking about it earlier on today. Covetousness, all this rubbish. Filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof. How? By the spirit of judgment and the what? Spirit of burning. So a burning is coming. As the Lord comes in us, he's going to come with a burning. He's going to come with a spirit of fire that is going to burn out the impurities. And as I was preparing for all of this and praying over these last few weeks, the Lord's been building up this message in me. And I now saw something I hadn't really seen clearly as I see it now before. He said, do you remember what happened to Adam and Eve in the garden? I said, yes, Lord. The other day I was teaching about overcoming sin by revelation. You have to understand this, brethren. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, they were physically naked, but they were clothed with the glory of God. So when Adam saw Eve, he didn't see her nakedness. He saw fire. From the top to the bottom. He saw light. Yes, you could see the hands and the fingers and all of the something, but it was all covered in light. Man was crowned with glory and honor. That light, the light, fire, sun, they're all synonymous terms in this context. You understand? So they were covered with the glory of God from top to bottom. The day they sinned, that's what God was trying to tell them. Don't eat of that fruit of the tree of good of knowledge of good and evil, because the knowledge of good and evil was not evil, but the way they got it was evil. Instead of getting it by revelation, they got it by experience, by physical experience of disobedience. So when that thing happened, something happened. That light went off. It was there, and then it's just like this electricity. You just take the switch off, and suddenly they were aware that they were naked. They were not always being naked, but the nakedness was covered with the light, with the glory. Are you listening to me? That's why it says, all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. The glory of God was short-circuited, and the thing went off. Watch this. The minute that thing happened, they became vulnerable to the elements. They weren't vulnerable before. The light was the clothing. The light was the protection. So, let me just give a few illustrations. Adam and Eve, this before the fall, are walking around the garden. They're clothed with light. He doesn't feel cold. He's not subject to the elements. He doesn't feel cold. He's warm. He has on a light suit. His whole body is covered with light. His temperature is constant. It's a spiritual thermostat that's keeping him. He's not afraid of anything. He's protected. That light, he says, the glory of God shall be your rear guard. That light covers him right about. Amen. So he can go about. He sees the lion and the animals. They're not afraid of. In fact, once they see that light, they're on. All things were under him. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion. The fish of the sea, the land. This was before the fall. They were in total control. Their environment was not a danger to them because of the light. The day they sinned, That light went off, and then they became vulnerable. That's why the first thing God did was kill an animal and use the skin to cover them. The only thing Adam could think of after the light was get some leaves. You know, like we see all these tribes. You know, the other day we went up to Zuma here, in Adamawa State. You know, I saw it with my two eyes like this. You know, that they just had leaves. That's how man was when he fell in the Garden of Eden. He was trying to cover it. So God said, leaves aren't good enough. Then he used animal skin. Then he says, you're vulnerable now. You're vulnerable now. The ground is cursed because of what you've done. So the glory of God that left man vulnerable. Man was clothed with light before, just like Adam. God is clothed with light. God wears light as with a garment. So this is what happened. Now watch this. When man gets restored through Jesus Christ, which is what we have now, that same light that was lost in the Garden of Eden is now inside you. Now, what happened? We're now coming to, I've talked about fire for the, let me now talk about, I use the word transformation deliberately, but just as accurate a word would be transfiguration. Now, what happened on the mountain of transfiguration? What happened was this: the light that was in, that was covering Jesus' spirit, the sun, if you like to use that expression, the light and the fire that was inside Jesus' spirit was allowed by God temporarily to show on the outside. That's why his clothes became white and glistening. I say, but you get, guess what? The Lord said, I should tell you this. That light was always there. It was there from Bethlehem. His spirit was not like your spirit. He's Son of God. He's always had that light. When he was 12 years old, the light was there, but it never showed on the outside. When he was 13, the light was there. 14, 15, all those years, that light was there. He was always walking, and he was growing the intensity and everything. He was growing spiritually. The Bible says he grew in wisdom and in stature. He always had that light. So on that mountain that day, what God did was he just allowed, just for a short while, he allowed what was on the inside to show on the outside temporarily, so that Peter, James, and John could witness it and write it down for generations to come. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. I didn't hear anybody say good prayer. Hallelujah. Now I'm about to tell you something that's going to blow your mind completely. As you grow spiritually and come into perfection, that same light is inside you. Not with no less intensity than it was in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, what happens is this. We're talking about fire. The sun, the fire, the light. I'm using different terms. That is inside you. As the Lord comes in you in his perfection and fullness, the intensity, that's the best word I can find, you know, of that light increases to a certain threshold level, to use that expression, and you know what? It burns out whatever impurities that are left in your mind, your will, your emotions, and your body. That's why it says he will burn it out by the spirit of burning and the spirit of judgment. Hallelujah. So they will be what? Oh Lord, thank you. What Adam had in the Garden of Eden in his naked body, are you following? You will now have inside your spirit. So your own physical body now will be experiencing that light from the inside out. It will burn away sickness. It will burn away weakness. It will burn away the desire for sin. It will destroy it. Hallelujah.
That's why he said he will burn it by the spirit of burning. He said he will wash away the filth. He will purify them like gold and like silver. Whatever, we're already gold. We're already silver. But God has to do an internal purification process through the coming of the Son of Righteousness in us. And when that thing, as that thing reaches its threshold value, because of the intensity of that life, not only will it burn sin and sickness out of your own physical system, it will now come out like beams. Glory be to God. And heal the people around you. You'll be healing people without praying for people. You're walking in ShopRite or in Dube Market or in Songo Market. You understand? You shake somebody and the light just goes and heals the person. Sometimes you won't even know. That's what's ahead, folks. Remember what mommy said? Believe his prophets. Believe his prophets. There's a fire. That fire does an internal work of transformation. The word transfiguration that is used in Luke, you know, when talked about the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, and he was transfigured before them. You know what the word is? It's an amazing word. It's the word metamorpho. It is exactly the same word we get metamorphosis from. So the fire, the internal fire, does an internal metamorphosis. Remember what I talked to us about some weeks ago, some months ago, you know, about the butterfly. See, the butterfly starts as an egg. Then from the egg, it becomes a caterpillar that's running around on all the way. Then after that, it goes to the pupa stage where it becomes enclosed in a cocoon. Inside that something, there is something happening. It's a transformation or a transfiguration. And it continues for a certain amount of time until what is inside is strong enough. When it gets strong enough, it breaks the cocoon and the butterfly flies out. That butterfly flying out is a type of our perfection and fullness in Christ. Are you listening to me? And so what God does and he's doing is that he's allowing the fire to do the internal metamorpho, the internal transformation. And you know the amazing thing? Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He says, and I beseech you, brethren, that you present your bodies. A what? I didn't hear you. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Next verse. And be not conformed to this world. Turn to your neighbor and say, what's the world? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I just want to stop there. That word transformed is exactly the same word transfiguration. It's the same metamorpho. It's exactly the same Greek word. So what God is doing is the fire, the internal fire, is metamorphosing you. That's not the best English in the world, but you get the meaning. There is an internal work in which the sin, even the desire for sin, is being burnt up as the Lord comes in us with the fire. The fire is transforming, is transfigurating us, is transforming us on the inside. And once, as that transformation is taking place, and it gets to a particular level, then the glory flows out. The glory of God comes from the inside, then begins to get healing, deliverance, raising the dead, all those things, because the transformation on the inside has taken place. So you got these three steps. Everyone say fire, transformation, and glory. So as the Lord is coming in us now, he's going to come with that fire. That fire is absolutely necessary to burn out whatever impurities are still remaining in us, even though we are vessels of gold and vessels of silver. Now, and here, you know, I got it here in my notes. He says, the glory, the fire, and the transformation is inside, is internal. People can't see it. Like I said, Jesus had it when he was 30. You know, at the Jordan River, there was the Holy Ghost coming down from heaven, but you couldn't see that light. He just allowed it on the mountain so that Peter and James and John could see it and write it down. But he was always there. All through the years, you know, when he was here, he was always there. That internal fire and transformation was always there. But as we get transformed on the inside, it will start manifesting externally, according to Isaiah chapter 60. He says, "Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is what? Risen." Everybody say, risen. Say, risen. Say, risen. Say, risen. Say, risen. See, the word of God needs meditation. That's why you need to think about it. I'll say, risen. Don't your neighbor say, what rises? Ask yourself, what rises? What rises in the morning? The sun. The sun is inside here. Then it rises. It rises. The glory of God is risen upon thee. Next verse. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall what? Arise upon thee. And his what? Glory shall be what? Not perceived, though. Seen. Seen. Everybody say seen. Seen. So what is inside will rise, and when it rises and enters the body, it will now show on the outside. His glory will be seen upon thee. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Verse 3. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light. What will happen? They will come to the light that they see. They will see the light. So they will now come to it. And kings, we're talking the other day, you know, I was sharing with some of the brethren, you know, some of the political problems that we're having on the earth now, you know, Trump and King Jong-un and all this, you know, this glory, as it gets manifest in the church, and this is the next thing I'm going to mention, is that it's going to attract some of the kings. It won't be everybody, sadly, you know, but it will be a significant number, particularly those in very important and strategic positions. They will come to the light. They will come to the glory. Hallelujah. And not only will they come, they will submit to it. Not all of them, but some of them will submit to it. And then the Lord gave me a wonderful word I want to share with us. John chapter 2 verse 11. Look at what happened here. This beginning of miracles, I did not hear you. Did Jesus where? In Cana of Galilee, and what? Manifested forth his glory. Don't stop there. And his disciples did what? Now stop. Stop. Didn't they believe on him before? They did. And what I'm about to say is a great hope for the nations and even for you and I. Didn't they believe before? They believed. What made them follow him? They heard the word that John said, "Behold the Lamb of God." They believed. But when they saw the miracle, when the glory manifested, that faith which they had before became strengthened and established. Are you listening to me? Now the word of the Lord. You see, you hear, oh, President Trump is now allowing them to do Bible study, you know, in the White House, in the cabinet. They're actually doing that now. They do a Bible study every week. They invite a pastor from somewhere. They come and teach them. Not everybody does it. He doesn't make it compulsory. Those who want to. Netanyahu in Israel does a Bible study now. You know, there's a clip of it. It's on the internet. You can find it if you just Google it. You know, they do a Bible study. You know, what are they doing? It's not only them. But I know that even in other countries too, there are people like that. You know, I was watching a film, a movie. It's true, based on a true story. It's called The Crown. It's on Netflix. It's about Queen Elizabeth, the present Queen of England. You know, and in one of the episodes, I was really touched. I said, no wonder why God has preserved this woman. She's the longest serving monarch. She's outlived Queen Victoria. I saw two things. Number one, every day. They showed it in the film. You know, it was being acted, but it was something she used to do. Every night, she gets on her knees by her bed and prays. I didn't know that. This from 1947 or whenever. It was the way they were brought up. You know, they didn't understand everything. They were not really born again and all that. But, you know, they were taught to say their prayers. So at night, before she goes to bed, the queen will kneel down by her bed and thank God. And, you know, if she had any problem, she'll tell God about it. And then she'll go to sleep. So in 1957, Billy Graham comes to England and starts holding crusades. Hundreds of thousands of people start going to crusade and getting born again. The queen watches Billy Graham's, this is a true story. She watches Billy Graham's crusade on television. That time it was black and white. And, you know, she was moved and touched. So she goes to meet her protocol people and say, how can we get him to come to the palace? So they arrange it. They send a message out to Billy Graham. Billy Graham comes to the palace and has a special service just for the queen and her family. And she is so moved and touched, you know, and asked him, had tea with him, asked him questions about understanding. So Billy Graham said, she said, oh, you know, you explain. He says, it's not me. He says, it's God and the scripture. He said, yes. Queen answered him and said, yes, I know it's a scripture. He said, but you make it come alive. You bring light to it. He said, and it has blessed me. You know, then the same time, Graham goes away, continues his crusades. Before he leaves England, she has a problem about forgiving somebody. So she calls for him again. Billy Graham comes again and says, what do you think about this? How can I forgive this? You know, what should we do? And Billy Graham explains to her, you know, about the fact that, you know, even the people who are undeserving, you need to forgive them. He said, what if I find it very difficult? Then you pray for yourself so that God will give you the grace. Oh, I was so touched. I said, no wonder. Now, watch what I'm about to say. I sound like Queen Elizabeth, Donald Trump, Netanyahu, and others. There are others I don't know, but at least those ones I know. You know, they're already hearing the word of God. The faith is already there. It's not maybe strong, but it's there. What will happen when the glory comes? It will solidify. Give the Lord a clap offering. That's the next thing on the timetable. The faith is already there. Just like those boys heard, behold the Lamb of God. The faith is there already. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. But faith is solidified by the manifestation of the glory. And then they will no longer be partial disciples. They'll come out straight for God. Then we were going to see what happened in the day of Cyrus happen again. Hallelujah. And say, don't disturb these men. Whatever they want to do, the word of God, we'd even take money out of the king's treasury and we give it to them. In the day of Mordecai and Esther, write the law as you like it. That's the reason why the fire has to do this internal work inside us and then bring about the manifestation of the glory of God. Closing. How? The answer is so simple, you wouldn't even, you know, the Bible is a wonderful book. I've been preaching this thing for years, you know, but the link, I said, God, you know, everything is, you know, the book is sealed. So at the end of time, God is opening it up. What did the Bible say that we'll be baptized with? That tongues you received. Do you understand? Isn't just tongues, it's access to fire. You're baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I'm not done yet. Mark chapter 9, verse 49. Every sacrifice shall be salted with what? Fire. What's the sacrifice? Your body. So, as you begin to pray with this understanding and faith, as you begin to pray, you begin to release fire from your spirit and it burns up all the impurities inside your body. because you're baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Last scripture, hallelujah. James chapter 3, talking about the tongue. He said the tongue can no man tame. He didn't say it cannot be tamed. What did he call the tongue? He said the tongue is a fire. But instead of it being on the fire of hell, now tap your tongue in the fire of the Holy Ghost to burn out every impurity inside you, so that the fire will now come from the inside. The Son of Righteousness will arise from inside. As you pray in the Spirit, as you groan, as you travail, you are releasing fire. Your tongue now becomes a fire that will burn out every impurity in your soul, in your body, and then the glory will come out. Let us pray. Talk to God. Talk to God. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost and fire. The Holy Ghost and fire. Now, I don't understand it. This fire, fire, fire. What's it all about? That's what it's for. It's to burn out. When the temperature, you know, when it gets to a particular level, when it gets to a particular temperature, it burns out. It's something internal. So you're going to be carrying the same glory Adam and Eve carried in the garden, but it will be inside your body. It will be inside your spirit. And then it will be from inside, it will be heating up your body. Glory to God. It will be healing it. It will be purifying it. The fire on the inside will now begin to show on the outside as the glory of God. This is a stepping stone message into the new year. You need to generate greater and greater intensity of the fire. Remember, your tongue is a fire. You've been baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. The initial evidence of speaking of the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues. So that tongues gives you the access to God's fire that does an internal work of transformation that will cause the glory to flow. It's very interesting. This is just on the side. Elijah, he builds an altar. And when he places the wood in order, he places the meat in order, he fills the trench with 12 barrels of water, which is symbolic of dominion, you know, and government. Then he now prays, and fire falls from heaven and burns up everything. Fire. This is the day where the Lord is coming in us with his fire to first of all burn out our own impurities, and then manifest as healing in his beams for the nations. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Amongst us, hallelujah.
Move amongst us with holy fire.
As we lay aside,
all earthly desire.
Hearts, reach out.
We lay aside.
establishing us today. Some new work.
Your hand to God. We're going to pray in a minute, but I want you as an individual to say, Lord, let your fire. I understand what you're doing, Lord. I want the fire of your spirit to increase in me and begin to burn out all the impurities in my desires, in my mind, my will, my body. Oh God. Oh God. You baptized me with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I will use that fire for its purpose. You said every sacrifice shall be salted with fire. I present my body, my mind, my will, my emotions as a living sacrifice. Oh, let your fire burn out every remaining vestige of impurity in my soul and in my body. Talk to God. Move amongst us with holy fire. As we lay aside all hands, reach out. Raise that hand. Reach out. And our hearts.
And our hearts.
As far.
Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. I welcome you. Make it personal.
I welcome you.
Say, Father, we confess our sins and so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the work that you're doing in your church. I thank you for this time, this season of your coming in us. And your word tells us that when you come, you will come as a refining fire. Lord, Lord, I welcome you into my heart and into my body as you come now as a refining fire. A fire that will burn out every impurity in thought systems, in my desires, in my body. Oh Lord, move in me. Move in me as a refining fire. And burn out everything that is not of you. Let the Son of Righteousness. Let the Son of Righteousness arise now in me. Burning out every sin, every impurity with healing. Healing of the mind. Healing of the emotions, healing of the body, with healing in his beams, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, as you burn every impurity out of me, transform me from within, transfigure me from within, so that your glory can manifest on the outside. For the nations to see. For the nations to see. For kings to come to the brightness of thy rising in the name of Jesus. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. This is your hour. This is the hour of your glory. This is the hour of your manifestation. And I say, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Burn me up. Burn me up from the inside out, so that your glory can be revealed through me in this and to this generation. In Jesus' name, amen. The Holy Ghost and fire. The tongue is a fire. Neda mashalika kufrenes. The tongue is a fire. Not a world of iniquity, but the fire of the Holy Ghost. The purifying fire of the Holy Ghost. The tongue is a fire. Nekatala mashaliki tufre. Nobrigi tufris. Lambrigatala mashala. Lombriga tufriya. Tolomotolomotolomotufridufrishi. Delamakar. Tukromotolomotolomotufris. Zefri. Lombrigatola mashala. Zifridia. Nofridia. Nofridiglameras. Jikitufrines. Lombridiles. Nikitufrines. Nangaras. Gilicaras, Tufridis, Nongaras, Ziki Tufridis, Lombridis, Nictulos, Zifris, Longardolas, Ziki Tufridis, Zefridias, Dufridiles, Shuku Tufridis. In Jesus' name, keep your hand where it is. I'm going to release, I'm not praying a lot, I'm just going to release healing power. Anybody who is sick now, you will be healed now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, I release healing power now in the name of Jesus to burn out and burn up every sickness in everybody whose hand is on their chest and our hands are up. Do it now. If your hand is not there, put it down. Everybody, on the sound of my voice, if you're watching on television or YouTube, put your hand on your body and raise the other hand. I release fire. The fire of the power of the Holy Spirit to burn up sickness, burn up cancer, burn up every impurity, burn up every infirmity. In the name of Jesus, I declare you are healed. For the Son of Righteousness arises in your bosom now with healing in his wings. In Jesus' name, done. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. Yes, you will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name. Just before I share the grace, I want to give an announcement. We are meeting tonight at 9 o'clock for the watch night service. It is our custom and our tradition, and I want you to do this as God helps you and enables you to fast. So you're not going home for lunch now. You should go and find a quiet place. You can go home, of course. You know, find a quiet place to pray, read your Bible, begin to pray towards the watch night service so that you can come in here on a good spiritual keel, so to speak, you know. So you want to go home, you can take soft drinks, you can take, you know, some fluids if you need some strength and energy. Go back home, you know, quiet and spend some quality hours in prayer before you come for the service, so that you are spiritually tuned to hear what the Spirit is saying. And not just hear it, also begin to practice and grasp it, so that you're going to take that into 2018. 2018 is your year of upgrade.
Amen.
Upgrade in every area of your lives. Upgrade in your family. Upgrade in your spiritual life. Upgrade from Pentecost to tabernacles. Upgrade from spirit with measure to spirit without measure. Upgrade in your family. Upgrade in your marriage. Upgrade in your job. Upgrade in your finances. Upgrade all around. And you are not coming down again. Once you get to this next level, you are going to keep going up. Upward ever, downward never. In the name of Jesus. So don't come to the all night with spiritual K-leg. I said that deliberately. Don't come to all night. Come prepared. Fast. Pray. You know, read your Bible. You know, go home, just relax, take a few drinks or something that you need, some fluid, you know, and spend the time in prayer. And we're back here at 9 o'clock. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Tell them, say, your tongue is the fire of the Holy Ghost that will burn and transform you inside so that the glory will show on the outside. God bless you. See you tonight.